We thought about preaching. Or that Hezekiah prayed. Thought about preaching on, Lord, give us another year. Amen. One reason is because of the frailness of my body. I've been about as frail as I could get this past year. And then another reason was because of my failures. Helen, and looking back and seeing how that in this past year's failures, that I wish that I could have done a better work for God than what I did. But then, because I've heard that God reverses failures, I'd like to have one more year and let Him do that. Amen. I'd like to have one more year and let God reverse those failures and see the Lord move and work and do. You know, I've tried to do a lot of work for God this year, but I found out that that wasn't what God wanted. He wanted to do a work through me. And I've been busy. But I think maybe I should have maybe just let Him been a little bit more busier than me. And I was reading a book the other day and I threw it away. The author of the book was writing, it was a preacher, and he was writing about how to get God to do these things. And I thought to myself, we're always trying to get God to do what we want Him to do, and He's trying to get us to do what He wants us to do. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Well, I'm glad to be here. Now, I'm just going to be as honest with you as I can be, and I believe a preacher ought to, don't you? Amen. I've been riding with AC down here, and I'm backslid as I can be. Amen. Amen. I mean, and if you was to ride with Him, you'd backslide too. The only thing I didn't do was cuss, but I thought about doing that. Amen, I didn't. Amen. If you'll stand, I want to read Romans. I could find where I'm going here. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. His blood fell to where my sins were. By what law are works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Father, we come to you. I'll have to have your help, Lord, if I preach. And Lord, I ask you, your will be done. And Lord, you get honor and glory now. And Lord, that you would be magnified, Lord, in this effort that we put forth. But would you just use us, touch our mouth, our minds, and Lord Jesus, our bodies. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen. Amen. As they were singing that song, I got to thinking of the word propitiation. And I got to thinking about how that God looked at the cross when Jesus was hanging on the cross. Now, let me say this. We all in here know a little bit about the cross. We know the person of the cross, Jesus. I mean, we know that He is the person of the cross. We also know the place of the cross, which is Jerusalem, Palestine, Mount Calvary. And then as we think about it, we even know that time started, the time that we go by. This is New Year, a new year. And the new time started, A.D., in the year of our Lord, Eto Dominion, in the year of our Lord. And any time you read in the Bible about the year of the Lord, it's talking about starting at the day that Christ died on Calvary. Because from there on out, all you'll find is the fact that men are sinners, and Jesus is Savior. And that's it. I mean, you don't find any in-betweens. You don't find any way around it. You don't find anything that would help us to understand that we need a Savior more than the cross of Christ. Now, let me say this as a try to get into this a few minutes, that I'm not talking about the form of a cross. And I'm not talking about the situation of those necklaces that some of you ladies have on. And are, I don't know if this pulpit's got it on the front of it or not. Some do. Oh, yes, it does. And I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Now, let me say, my friend, that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to those that believe, those that are saved, those that believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Now let me say tonight that that's scary. Because you preach on the cross in the average church, and to most folks it's a ho-hum message. I mean, it's a ho-hum message. And see, to those it's foolishness. And to those that is foolishness to, it's a rebuke, and it's a mark against them, because by the cross either comes judgment or salvation, one of the two. But let me say, it'll come because of God. Now, I want you to see this, if I can. Just get into it real slow, and then we'll finish quick. But the thing about it is, Jesus was predetermined before the foundation of the world to go to the cross. Now, when the movie Passion come out, I was a critic of it. I wasn't one of those that went along with it. But I'm generally critical on everything, so it don't matter. But the thing about it was, I heard preachers say, boy, this is going to affect America. It's going to move America. And you know what happened? The Jews got mad because it depicted them crucifying our Lord. And then the Romans got mad, Rome did, because it depicted them to be the cruel, killing bunch that they are. Now listen to what I'm saying. But I didn't even go see the movie, because I'd already seen it here in this book, and it was more of a reality in my heart than it was on that screen. But friend, listen to me. The truth is that your sin and my sin hung Jesus to the cross. I know what it is to be guilty. I know what it is to have to face a society with the conviction of guilty. Do you hear what I'm saying? And as I look at this, I was guilty in my sin. I was guilty, and justice had to be done. Justice had to be taken care of. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let me give you this. And I really, Brother Ron, I thought this was a service you already had the preachers picked out. Amen, I did. AC said, no, no. He told me this a little while ago. Oh, no. I said, well, I hope he has. But I want you to listen to me just a minute. Sin demands justice. It demands judgment. And my sin could not go without death. The wages of sin is death. But God, before the foundation of the world, determined and predetermined. And let me say this, this may choke you, but He didn't only predetermine of Christ to die, He even predetermined those that believed. Amen. But Christ was predetermined to die on the cross because I was not capable, not of works that we did, but of Christ Jesus, His blood. Propitiation for my sin was made. Now I know how guilty I was. I know that. There's no question about my guilt of sin. But let me say this. Since the Lord had to hang on the cross for your sin and my sin, let me say to you, it proves the guilt of every individual that's in this building tonight. Judgment had been passed. Guilty of sin. Worthy of death. Worthy of hell. But God took the innocent to die for the the one that was not innocent. And let me say, because of Christ on Calvary, hallelujah, I'm saved by His grace. Amen. Thank God. I look at this. I was telling Brother Sam, I've had strokes, and in a crowd, I can't keep up with the crowd. And when I get up to preach to people that's different than my church, I nearly kill myself. Amen. So we may start this year off good. But let me tell you something. My brother's sitting here. And he remembers me as a boy. He remembers me as we were growing up. And by the way, I remember him. And let me say to you, neither worthy of Christ. Guilty in my sin. Can I say to you, my friend, that it does matter how that you look at Christ and Him crucified. It does matter how that we realize, for all have sinned, a sinner such as I. But God, in His love and His mercy and His grace, gave His Son before the foundation of the world to die on the cross for my sin. No plan B. No. Listen to me. There's some of us won't let our children be sinners. And we wonder why that they're not saved. We won't let them be sinners. Ah, that's my grandson. I've got a new little 18-month-old grandson. And I've already started trying to whisper to him. He was in the hospital, in intensive care, in the children's hospital for about 4 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And he just quit breathing and turned blue. And they'd have to bring him back. One day, I was in there and I realized that little feller, he's the joy and the pride of our lives now. But I realized that he was born in the sin nature. That he, when he grows up, as he grows, he'll come to the knowledge that he's a sinner. Somebody said, preacher, my little grandson, he wouldn't do that. Hey, let me tell you something. My mama would say, there ain't nothing my boys won't do. Amen. We won't let them be sinners. Amen. But I look at this. Acts 2:23. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, how being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. My, I don't understand this, Ron. There's some things I don't understand. But see, there's one individual about me that understands this. And that's that inward man that's born of God. My flesh doesn't comprehend this. My flesh doesn't understand this. See, in the flesh, I'm still prone to anger. And I'm still prone to
sinned and thoughts that are not pleasing to God. But thank God, He that lives within me, He that's born of God, He that has been justified by the blood of Jesus, the innocent Lamb, dying for the one that was not innocent. Let me say, Christ was the propitiation for my sin. We look at the cross a lot of different ways. Did you know, when I looked at the cross a lot of times, and by the way, we generally only look at it about Easter time. I mean, really and truly. But when I look at it at different times, I look at it and I think, my, how He suffered. How He suffered. And He did. But let me tell you something. Even God Himself was glorified in the suffering of Christ on Calvary. It was your sin and my sin that caused God to turn His back upon His Son. It wasn't the fact that Christ, because that was predetermined before the foundation of the world. And let me say, that ought to prove to each and every one of us that we're guilty in sin. We're guilty. And we have to have that price paid. I was reading about, well, I read it out of Spurgeon's book. A king that had sentenced a young man to death. And as he was sentenced to death, his little wife or whatever was begging for his life. And they said, no, said he has to die. What he did requires death. And they said, when the bell hits that time in the bell tower, said he has to die. And it come time for the bell to strike, and it didn't strike. There was no sound. And they went up there, and that little old woman had put herself between that thing that hit and between that metal. And she was in there, just blood, and just beat nearly to death. And there, and she died there. And thank God the judge of that young man looked and said, death has been paid. Let me tell you something, my friend. I was sentenced, condemned. Somebody said, what do you mean? Because I had not believed on the only name of the only begotten Son, the name of the only begotten Son of God. I was condemned, condemned. But Jesus took and let Him hang you, and His bloody body hung on that tree for a perpetuation of my sin. Let me hurry up just a minute. It shows all of our guilt. We're guilty in sin. 1 John 2:2 says that the propitiation is for our sin and for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 John 4:10, it says that propitiation for our sins. Romans 3:25, for propitiation for the remission of sins. Listen to me. Our guilt. How we ought to think about this. But then let me say, that propitiation gave the greatest gift that man has ever known. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus. Now, I've got two brothers, Harold and A.C. Please don't hold that against me. We're close. In fact, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We die for one another. We would. There's some preachers sitting here that I'd die for. I would. The rest of you I don't know, forget it. I wouldn't die for you. Amen. I mean, I'm just being honest. See, you have to know somebody and know a little bit about them. And you see, Brother Ron, you're one of the best preachers I've ever heard. I love you. I love you because of the ministry. Men, you'd never get along if it wasn't for the Lord and the ministry. Not for one minute. Amen. Brother Ron, that's something. Because I give my life for you because of how that I feel about you with your ministry. Now get what I'm saying. But when God looked at me, He didn't see a ministry. What He saw was that I had to have justice paid for my sin. And the greatest gift I've ever received in my life, Christ Jesus. Oh my, listen to me. I've had my parents to love me, but nobody ever loved me like Jesus. I've had others to care, but nobody ever cared like Jesus. Let me say this to you. By the gift of Christ for the perpetuation of my sins helps me today to walk and walk in a way that I'm not ashamed, I'm not sorrowful and ashamed of what I am. I couldn't walk that way when I was a sinner. Now let me give you this and I close. Sin brings grief. In a church that I pastored, the high school girls, that was one of the old ones, got pregnant. And they made a pact of a dozen or more young high school girls that they set out to get pregnant that year. Stay with me. Stay with me. And probably they were Baptist people, Baptist church members. I mean, seriously. Seriously. They were Christians. They talked about Jesus properly. But stay with me just a minute. We've forgotten how sin grieves God, family, others, society. How the sin grieves those around. Are there any parents here? You don't raise your hand. But are there any parents here that had wept through the night over the sin of your children? I believe one of the hardest times I've ever had in my life was when my mom and dad would weep through the night over my sin. Oh, how it'd break my heart. And how that grief will take the life of an individual and destroy them. Can I say to you, it can't be any other way except that that sin is under the blood of Jesus and that sin has been paid for by Christ and justice has been met there at Calvary. It can't produce anything but grief. No matter what you do. I'll never forget the grief that sin brought to my life. And I'm not trying to get into it. Well, let me just go and do it. I don't care what you think about it. I was in the hospital in March with strokes. Heart attack and two strokes all at one time. Ron Hughes at Harrell's when they called my family in for me to die. Four times they resuscitated me. I would have hated to think I would have had to went through that without the justice being paid on Calvary for my sin. Amen. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Had I been there, I've been where that men were dying without justice being paid for their sin. And as they died, the grief that had stripped the family and that individual. But hallelujah, we don't have to grieve over sin no more. It's been paid for at Calvary. The propitiation of my sin at Calvary. Can I get you to understand this? Isaiah 53:10. Yet it pleased the Lord, hallelujah, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Oh, you better not believe that Christ didn't have grief on Calvary. When his own father had to turn his back because he could not look upon your sin and my sin. See, there's things I know about this Bible that I didn't know. I got saved under a gospel message. I got saved under a gospel message on the cross. I did. But until then, boy, it was just foolishness to me. Why, that those folks would go to church. My dad was a preacher. We was in church all the time. But man, I thought it was crazy. But let me tell you something. Since then, and he took that grief that I had to suffer, Luke, away from me. That I don't have to suffer that no more. Oh, let me tell you this. The last time they had to resuscitate me, I was gone over 10 minutes. I didn't see no lights, didn't see nothing. Thank God I didn't see no fire. Amen. But I didn't see nothing. When I woke up, I could hear everybody. And I thought, well, I'm not in heaven. My doctor was standing there with about 15 other people, them working with me, hitting me in the chest and rubbing my arms, washing my face, and trying to keep circulation going in my body. Listen to me. The first thing I said, well, is everybody in this room okay? And they laughed. And they told me, they said, we're going to have to put you back in the critical care ICU. And I said, oh, couldn't you let me alone and let me go? You say, why, preacher? Because my sins had been cleared at the court with the blood of Christ. And the propitiation had been paid for my sins. Thank you, dear brother.